Terrorism is something that must be fought, must be destroyed. But at the same time, we recognize that eventually, to reach the kind of solution that is needed, parties must talk, parties must begin negotiations.
No negotiations today, but there will be a meeting tomorrow. After yesterday's bombing in Jerusalem, Secretary of State Colin Powell postponed a meeting with Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat that had been scheduled for this morning. Mr. Powell demanded that Mr. Arafat denounce yesterday's suicide bombing, which the White House is referring to as a homicide bombing. And today, Mr. Arafat did just that, balancing his statement by using equally strong terms to condemn Israeli attacks on Palestinians. But it was enough to satisfy the United States, and now the Powell-Arafat meeting has been rescheduled for tomorrow. Dan Shore is away this week, so Andrew Sullivan, our friend and senior editor of the New Republic magazine, joins us to talk over the news of the week. Andrew, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me again.
I do wonder, are we making too much of a meeting? There have been meetings before. Yasser Arafat has met plenty of times with U.S. officials and other public officials from all over the world, really. Do we invest too much significance in yet another shaking of hands?
Almost certainly we do. The question really is the motivation and beliefs of the parties involved. And I think as yet, we clearly have no indication, for example, that Yasser Arafat has changed his stripes or is going to take some radically different position. And we also don't have any indication to believe that Ariel Sharon is going to relent in what he believes is a life and death battle for the survival of the Jewish nation. And that's where we are. And we'd love to think that further gabfests are going to resolve this, but and one also obviously hopes that it could. But I'm no optimist about that whatsoever.
Not to be in any way frivolous about it, but even if you endorse the Woody Allen position that, what was it, 99% of life is just showing up, what hope is there for Secretary of State Powell's mission now, aside from just showing up to evince his concern?
Well, the problem is that the people who are really showing up are the homicide bombers. I mean, if you couldn't have a more eloquent statement of where the Palestinian side really is than on the day that Powell is actually in Jerusalem to launch another bomb, rather as in the period when the United States was specifically asking for restraint to go into a Passover Seder and murder 20 people is also a very eloquent statement. I think they're being extremely eloquent. I think in that respect, the Powell visit must be seen not as a genuine, I mean, it is genuine to some extent, but not as a realistic attempt to bring peace, but simply as a way to show the world the U.S. is trying. And when it fails, to say, look, we did our best. Now can we please move on to Iraq?
A statement from Mr. Arafat, quote, "We are condemning strongly all the attacks which are targeting civilians from both sides, and especially the attack that took place against Israeli citizens yesterday in Jerusalem."
Well, you'll notice, I think, that the critical issue here is his decision in Arabic to still say that the Israeli initiative is targeting civilians. It's not targeting civilians. It's targeting terrorists. In other words, it sounds once again as if Arafat is condemning terrorism clearly. Mm-hmm. He's not. He's still wriggling. What this shows, I think, however, is that he's aware that he's being isolated and that he needs to make a move. But for my own part, I don't think we've seen a massive change of heart from him, and I think this is more tactical maneuvering.
What do you make of the evidence that the Israeli government apparently furnished physically to the U.S. government this week, that they maintain links, Yasser Arafat, specifically to terrorist activities?
I don't think it's being overly suspicious to believe that's obviously the case. He is, whether anybody likes it or not, still regarded as the basic leader. He has not taken on Hamas, Hezbollah. He can't for his own survival. It's also important to realize that this uprising is funded and supported by Iraq and Iran and Syria. And I think today we have another example of a rocket from Lebanon, which is financed by Syria and orchestrated by Syria, coming into Israel. So I would caution skepticism all around on this stuff. But I certainly think there's no question that Arafat is deeply, deeply, deeply involved in promoting terrorism in Israel.
Well, what about the threat of the conflict that seems to grow wider, and what effect it has on the American-led campaign against international terrorism?
I think in a strange kind of way, the U.S. is in a win-win situation. I know that sounds rather bizarre given how dark and gloomy it is. But basically, if this if this initiative fails, as I think it almost certainly will, after Cheney's initiative failed, you can actually go to the international opinion and say, look, we tried very hard. And the only way to solve the Arab-Israeli conflict is now to tackle its financiers, which is in Baghdad and Tehran. And therefore, we need to do the extended war on terrorism in order to tackle the Arab-Israeli issue and not the other way around. And that, I think, is the position the administration wants. And it's trying to demonstrate that it has no option but to do that by this diplomatic flurry.
Let's wrench our attention back to activities here at home. Of course, there's the continuing story of Cardinal Bernard Law, the Archbishop of Boston, under heavy both scrutiny and criticism for the charge that he covered up sexual misdeeds in his church. There have been calls for his removal. Does that matter in an institution like the Catholic Church?
Short answer, no. He's not a democratically elected or supported figure. He has power from above. And I think what we're seeing in this entire crisis is that one of the factors perpetuating it is that people with unelected power don't give it up very easily, even if, as I think has been the case with Cardinal Law, I'm afraid to say, that the evidence is overwhelming that he has supported, enabled, not only the abuse of children through not removing priests who were doing it, but also has been concerned throughout not about the victims, but only about bad publicity for the church. And that's now been proven through court documents. I don't think he has any moral authority yet left, myself. And I think until he goes, the church is still going to be in a pretty awful crisis of confidence.
In the seconds we have remaining, you found yourself moved, perhaps more than you'd expected, by the funeral of the Queen Mother.
Yes. I mean, I think less because one thinks a 101-year-old lady who's been pampered her entire life is someone one should cry over. There are plenty of other people, including victims of terrorism, one should be more sympathetic towards. But clearly the monarchy in Britain is the least worst of all sorts of options to be the head of state of that country and my own native country. And she represented a history. She represented an entire century of British history, and I think people turned out to respect that more than anything else.
Thanks very much. Andrew Sullivan, senior editor at The New Republic.